Good day, my dear brothers and sisters. This is Father Blake Britton. Today, we will be reflecting on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord. A certain Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee, bringing an alabaster flask of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today's Gospel is among the most touching and mystical in all of sacred Scripture. It was also a very important transaction in the ancient church, as is attested to by the four Gospels, all of which convey this interaction between Jesus and whom John the Evangelist identifies as Mary of Bethany. There are a couple of points to keep in mind to appreciate the true gravity and beauty of this Gospel passage. The first is the city in which the event takes place. It takes place in the town of Bethany. Jesus utilizes the town of Bethany multiple times as a place and school of prayer. For example, we hear the interaction between Martha and Mary when Jesus comes to their house. Martha's working and is in her spirit of activism, whereas Mary sits at the feet of Jesus in contemplation, and the Lord uses that as an opportunity to teach that the higher good is contemplation. Before we can go out and evangelize to the world, we first have to sit at the feet of Jesus. Thomas Aquinas says, "You cannot give what you do not possess. How can we give holiness if we ourselves are not holy? And how can we attain holiness unless we sit in contemplation before the Blessed Sacrament, unless we go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, unless we fully participate in the sacrifice of the Holy Mass and receive communion on a regular basis?" The second lesson in Bethany is, of course, with Lazarus, when Jesus raises his friend from the dead. We know this is done in a graveyard outside of the city. Lazarus is raised from the dead as a symbol of Christ's power over death, and he who himself will be raised from the dead after his crucifixion on Calvary. And now we have the third and final lesson of Bethany. Mary enters into this home filled with Pharisees and other men. She touches Jesus on his feet. what we really have to take into consideration here is that Jesus, by touching this woman who is sinful and allowing her to touch him, is incurring upon himself impurity in the eyes of the ancient Jewish community. And this would also incur a penalty. He would have to subject himself to purification in order to re-participate in the sacrifice of the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus does this, by the way, on multiple occasions. For example, when he touches the lepers before healing them. To touch a leper is to incur upon yourself the penalty of ritual impurity. And yet Jesus makes it an explicit point to touch them while they are still lepers. The bleeding woman who's hemorrhaging that reaches out for Jesus' cloak, she does so in secret not to protect herself, but to protect Jesus and his reputation. If Christ is seen being touched by a woman with a flow of blood, if Christ is seen touching a leper, then he would be declared unclean and would have to be humiliated by subjection to ritual purity. And yet Jesus makes these public events. He does not try to hide them. To show why the law authentically exists, which is for the sake of the dignity of God's children, not for the law itself. And he would rather incur upon himself public shame and scandal than cause one of these little ones to sin, than to lead people away from the church. So here we have Christ with a similar disposition before this sinful woman. Anytime the scriptures refer to a sinful woman, it typically has to do with sexual sin, whether that be in adultery or prostitution. Mary approaches, falls at his feet, and anoints his feet with precious ointment, with sacred oil. Here we have a genius detail from the gospel writers. Mary is following an ancient Jewish custom of recognizing kingship by using the sacred oil. What's interesting, however, is that when you anoint a king in ancient Israel, you always anoint them on their head, not on their feet. Yet Mary does the opposite. Mary anoints Jesus' feet with these precious oil as a sign of humility. She then weeps and mixes this oil with her own tears and dries it with her hair. So at the end of this interaction, who ends up having oil on their head? Mary. Here we find a profound theological point. Jesus is not a king like other kings. He is not your typical Messiah. Jesus is a king who makes others royalty. At the end of this interaction, Mary is the one who is anointed. Her humility before Jesus, her falling to her knees, her opening her heart and her soul to the Lord, allows her now to leave dignified as a beloved daughter of the Father. She is anointed as a princess of the kingdom, as a member of the divine royal family. This is what Christ does with each of us. This is why we are created. At our baptism, each of us have received anointing with the sacred chrism. The same oil which anointed Christ has anointed our foreheads. And we were sealed as priest, prophet, and king for the sake of the kingdom. Do we truly answer this call, my brothers and sisters? Are we living according to this great dignity, we who have been anointed, we who have been made and enculturated into the royal family of Jesus Christ? How do we live up to this dignity? The Lord gives us the answer at the end of today's gospel passage. By loving much. Those who have been forgiven much, they're able to receive this love because they recognize what God has done for them. Mary recognized what God had done for her. She never lost sight of the great and divine mercy which Jesus showed her. She never lost sight of the fact that she could have stayed rooted in her sinfulness, but God rescued her out of that pit. He opened her eyes to the fullness of life. He allowed her the freedom by which to live as a daughter of the Father. That's what inspired her to fall to her knees, to adore Christ, and to anoint his feet and bathe it with her tears. how profound that the oil of anointing is mixed with her tears of reconciliation. For it's only by the reconciliatory humility of our hearts that we're able to enter into full communion with Jesus. Only by falling to our knees in the sacrament of reconciliation and pouring out our sins before Christ's priest are we able to rise with dignity as God's beloved children and reclaim our baptismal call to holiness. So today, my dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is inviting us to two things. First, to recognize our own dignity as incorporated members of the royal family of God. We, like Mary, have received an anointing upon our head. We proclaim Christ the King, and Christ the King in his humility has proclaimed us members of his family, co-heirs with the Father to the heavenly kingdom. Do we recognize that? Do we desire to live according to that identity, or do we allow ourselves to be categorized by our sinfulness, wounds, or the superficialities of the world? Secondly, are we truly opening our hearts to the divine grace Jesus wants to share with us so that we might live according to the dignity of God's children? Are we going to the sacrament of reconciliation on a regular basis, falling on our knees with tears in our eyes and recognizing God's mercy? Are we opening our hearts to the wisdom of Mother Church, reading the Catechism, studying the Church Fathers, going to the Blessed Sacrament, going to Eucharistic Adoration, praying novenas, praying the Rosary, praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, sitting at the feet of Jesus in contemplation, stillness, and silence, doing Lectio Divina and meditating with the Sacred Scriptures? These are the kind of souls that become saints. That's what we have been called to become. We are not meant to simply be other people in society. Catholics are anointed to become saints and testaments of hope and civilization. Are we living according to that truth? That can only be accomplished if we recognize how much we have received in God's divine mercy and allow that reception to inspire us to proclaim the gospel. Lord Jesus, we thank you for anointing us in your humility as you did Mary of Bethany. Allow us to always recognize this dignity and to live according to its goodness all the days of our life. Amen.